Good morning, everybody. Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Janet Hickox of the MediCafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what's happening up in the stars in the sky this week. We're also going to walk through human design a bit today, as well as the gene keys and the Pleiadian earth energy astrology. So here's to hoping that everybody had a wonderful weekend. Mine was certainly busy. And, you know, at the beginning of summer, I was like, oh man, I can't wait for the fall because I really like the cooler temperatures better than the warmer temperatures. But now as I'm sitting here facing fall and the days are getting shorter and the mornings much cooler and the fog, you know, along the coast kind of coming in again, I'm like, oh man, where did summer go? And it's just humorous that I go through this period of time every year where I'm like, oh, too bad summer is coming. And then, oh, too bad summer's going. So, oh, I guess I just learned to live in the moment and love every bit of whatever's happening here for me. It looks like everybody's Johnny on the spot this morning. I see Mimi and Suzanne. Good morning. And Asa, good morning. Chanel, good morning to you. And Rebecca and Allison, good morning to both of you ladies. It's great to see everybody up and about so early this morning. I woke up and I felt a little, I don't know, just like hungover, but I certainly wasn't drinking. It just felt like I'd slept really hard. I had some really interesting dreams, which kind of comes out of nowhere because the moon is now in Aries. It's not really a placement for that I usually have dreams, but I was in this place I've been to before in my dreams, a house I totally recognized. And when I woke up, I thought I'd actually lived in that house here in this lifetime. And I was asking my husband this morning, do we ever live in a house? And I described it to him. He's like, no. Okay, another lifetime then. But characters from this lifetime were in that dream, and it was just so surreal. I just still feel like, oh my gosh, I really live there or have lived there. Very odd morning for me. So let's take a look at what the week is ahead for us. Good morning, Camille and Elisa. It's great to see you. Hey, by the way, guys, ladies, and gentlemen, if you're out there as well, and I know some of you are also men that listen, two of my dearest clients and friends are having medical procedures done today. One is having a brain surgery, or more appropriately, a pituitary gland surgery, but of course that sits in the brain. And that is Michelle Gay. You see her in the morning here with me frequently. You know, she's joining, you know, all of you as listeners. And this is the second time she's had to have this surgery. So I hope you'll send her love and wishes. And another woman who joins us periodically, Ginger Cobes, this morning, also having a surgery. And I just want as much healing energy and love sent out to them as we can. And I think Michelle's probably in her procedure already and Ginger a little bit later. So I told them we would all be thinking of them and sending them as much love and light as we can. So back to the stars. The moon in Aries. So we have this energy available to us with the moon in Aries for getting things done, for moving forward. But there's something else happening today. It's a minor aspect called a semi-sextile. So I'm going to show you a picture of what a semi-sextile looks like. So here is, it's a between Jupiter and Saturn. And you can see they're fairly close together, but Saturn is at 14 degrees of Capricorn and Jupiter is at 14 degrees of Sagittarius. So they're not in the same sign, but they're close together. And that is a 30 degree angle that they're sharing, which is it's not a bad one. It's not a bad or a difficult transit. And it's not particularly benefic or fun loving. It's more like, these are the forces, Jupiter of expansion and Saturn of concentrating our focus, and they seem to represent two different things, and they're in a relationship where we might be finding ourselves sitting on the fence, where we're not quite sure that we want to land on one side or the other. We haven't quite made that, either we haven't made that decision yet, or it isn't clear to us what we want to do yet. So we, even though we have this moon that wants us to move and it wants us to take action, it's in Mars territory and it wants us to have the plan and get with the program and make a move. We have these other two transpersonal planets that are kind of sitting there on in a, at a space of no space. And what it reminds me of is that maybe on some unconscious level, we're tapping into the uncertainty of the future. And certainly from, everything that I looked at for 2020 and, coming up to the end of 2019, there are definitely some things that are going to create some chaos for us, perhaps, whether it's economics or it is something to do with, more craziness in our governments or whatever it is, it can upset our balance. And maybe we're kind of tapping into that prematurely. And we feel like we're sort of sitting here like this, wanting to go foot on the gas, foot on the brake kind of thing. So today, this moon in Aries then can show up in ways that are a little irritating to us. We may be irritated with our own selves over what we can or can't do. And I'll tell you, yesterday, this was exactly happening to me. And I should know when I'm experiencing something that it's going to come up in the greater, wider field, because I always seem to be feeling something ahead of time. And excuse me, what it was yesterday I sat down to write. I was going to write the astrology for the week, and I had a really great thought about writing a human design article, and I sat down to write it, and then it wouldn't come. It just was in my head, jumbled around. I started writing words, and then I realized I'd written the same sentence three different ways in one paragraph, saying the same thing. And I went, okay, this isn't working. I tried it. So I went around, I puttered around the house, and then I came back and sat down here to write some more, and it just wouldn't come. And finally, I just went, I give up, right? I just moved on to something else. And I never did get that feeling back that I want to go and I wanted to write. Now, some people would say, well, you've got to sit down and you've got to focus and you've got to force yourself to do this. Well, I say no, right? I know myself and I'm emotionally defined. I have a lot of gates that hook up into the emotional center, and those gates are moody. And if they're in the mood, great. And if they're not in the mood, ain't going to happen. So without a lot of force and a lot of pushing. So I decided not to push. And I said, I will just speak everything today, this morning, that I would have written yesterday. So I figured I would put off till tomorrow what I didn't want to do today and or yesterday. And this morning so far, so good, right? I feel like, okay, I can get this information out to you. Now, today, the moon is also in a couple of alignments with planets that you'll want to know about. First off, Mercury, and it is in a trine with Mercury. So the moon and Mercury, Mercury air, but even though it's in a fire sign, but it's a planet that represents air, the air element, and Aries is representation of fire. So the moon, water in fire, and the planet Mercury in fire. So we have some creative energies, we have some action-oriented energies, and then air is involved, which is ideas and inspiration and maybe things that aren't quite coalesced yet, where the whole of the story hasn't been blown in yet. Maybe it's just the first, second, or third step, but we don't have the whole picture. So for a bit today, we may feel like we are dealing with the idea and the inspiration, but without the manual yet that tells us what we do next. So if you're feeling a little bit like that, do as much as you can. I would say do like I did yesterday, do as much as you can and put the rest on hold until the opening is there for you to do more. And that's the way that we stay at peace within ourselves, by the way. I could have sat here and forced writing everything that I, wanted to supposedly write, but that wouldn't come out. But would that have been the pathway that would be the least resistance or a peace, a path to peace? And absolutely not the path to peace, because I know my own internal temperature was rising every moment that I sat here trying to force something that didn't want to happen. And that is a lesson I've learned over time. So where are you in that as well? Because maybe you're trying to force something to happen. And in reality, forcing is never a good thing, right? It's never a good thing. It leads to irritability, conflict, confrontation, and stress within oneself, tension. And I didn't want the tension. So the ideas are still there, and I can bring those in at any time that I get that, go sign. There's also a square today to Saturn, and that also acts as a little bit of a break to that energy because the moon, by the way, this is the moon squaring Saturn. Jupiter and Saturn are in that semi-sextile. But the moon squaring Saturn is a little bit melancholic. And what I mean by that is it puts a downward pressure on us, maybe a downward emotional pressure. And so what we may be feeling is a little bit of just, a lower vibration mood. That too shall pass. And then after that, that's followed by a trine to Jupiter where optimism is restored. So we may feel a little bit of like we're on a bit of a roller coaster today as we move up and down in the atmosphere. Now, I've also got to remind everybody that Aries and Capricorn and Libra and Cancer are all, they all are related because they rule the angles in a chart, but they're also related because anytime something moves through Aries, it is squaring the planets in Capricorn, Saturn, South Node, and Pluto. And then it is also squaring the North Node in Cancer. So we have pressure that builds up when we have anything going on in Aries. And it's because it kind of forms what we would call a T square. And that T square can be sort of a pressure for us to do something. And anyway, so we just to be aware of that. And then the moon in Aries also has just transited over Chiron. And even though we may not be feeling it as intensely, something may have been triggered yesterday or last evening as the moon transited over that. So, it's okay. We are on a journey and we are in no big race to get to the finish line. So take your time, make the plan, and work the plan or whatever it is that's available to you. And if you find yourself, like I said, between the Jupiter and Saturn on the fence about something, maybe it is just on the fence where you wait until you have absolute clarity about what you're going to do. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do next? So let's see who else has joined us here this morning. Good morning, Kristen. Mimi says, sending energy as well as ease and grace for healing for those two women. Thank you very much. Love and healing from Allison to Michelle and Ginger. Asa, same thing. She's lighting a candle for both of them and sending love and light. Good morning, Terry Levanis and Londa and Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel and Natasha. Great to see all of you out there this morning. So now let's transition. I'm going to choke myself with this scarf this morning. It is silky and it just wants to roll all over. And I'm chilled this morning, so I wanted to have something around my neck. And you can hear maybe my throat this morning. I woke up feeling all stuffed up. And I have a feeling it's allergies because every field I went through over the weekend had been mowed down hay or alfalfa or something like that. And yeah, yuck. And then the wind was blowing. So I was taking it all in. So let's look now at the human design energy for the week, because I think I sort of alluded to this last week that the sun and the earth were going to be placed in interesting gates for us as human beings. The sun at gate 29, which is the gate of commitment in a human. Oh, I should have drawn that up and I didn't. The human design gate 29 is on your sacral. And the sacral, let me see if I can find even if it's an older chart at the moment. The sacral is the square. If it's red, you are either a generator or a manifesting generator. If it's white, you are a projector, manifester, or a reflector, projector, or manifester. But here's the sacral, and here's gate 29, right? And gate 29 leads up to the identity center. So it is one of those, organizes our sacral energy and moves it up to meet the soul. So it really is about how do we manage the action-oriented energy of the sacral. And at gate 29, it is the gate of commitment. And in this gate, it is, in some books you'll see it called the gate of saying yes. In other books, it is called the gate of commitment. And the gene keys, I think, is where we see this gate most clearly. So it is, we'll call it the gene key 29 then. And in its shadow, it is the shadow of half-hearted commitment, half-heartedness, where we're only halfway engaged in it. And then the gift becomes commitment, and then the siddhi is devotion. So what we see here in this particular gate is what we say yes to is extremely important. It's important because if you say yes to the wrong things, then it can trigger half-hearted commitment, which then drags the whole of the group or the opportunity downward into the lower frequency energy of just that half-heartedness, right? I'm not really, that fickleness. I'm not really committed, but I'm not really not committed. I'm not sure. Where if we come into the opportunity correctly, then we are finding ourselves in commitment, and then we have the endurance to be able to stick with whatever it is that we entertained for the length of the opportunity. And when it meets up at the G center or the identity center, it meets up at the gate 46, which is the gate of physicality and love of the physical being. So it is an organizer to our energy that really gives, as soon as that channel connects, we have this staying power. We have this lovely energy of doing that comes when we say yes to the right things. So then that begs the question, how do you know when you're saying yes to the right things or to the wrong things? And that goes back to our human design type and our authority, right? Because there are different types of authority based on your type and how your human design is connected. So if you are emotionally defined and the emotional center is, just put that chart away. The emotional center is right down here. So if you're looking at your chart, it's on the lower right side of the chart, and it is the center for our emotions. And if this one is colored in your chart, colored in, it would be kind of a brown, tan, gold color, then you are emotionally defined, and this becomes the center of where you make the decisions. And emotional authority is based on clarity over time. It means that in the moment, something may sound really good or it may not sound so good. And if you choose to make a decision in the moment, it may or may not be the right moment because emotional energy flows in waves. It has a high and it has a low and all the points in between. So you want to avoid saying yes, especially to the big things in life, like not the little things, should I go to dinner or not go to dinner? Those are, you know, in the moment kind of small things, but the big things, right? Should I commit to this project? Should I commit my time, my money, or my energy to something? Do I want to move? Should I change jobs? Do I do this? Do I do that? Right? Anything that's of a big or lasting importance in your life, you definitely want to wait through your emotional wave. And that means that you don't say yes or no in the moment. You wait for at least 24 hours. And if you don't have clarity after the 24 hours, even, then it's usually going to be not right now, right? I'm not right now. And that will save you from committing to things and being really jacked up and excited in the moment that you said yes, but then later going, oh God, what did I do? How did I get myself into this? Or after the first couple of times you are a part of this group or you know, are working on this project, your energy wanes and you're like, oh God, I can't get through this fast enough. Because that energy then leaks out to the people around you and drags the whole of the group down if it's a group venture. Now, if you have splenic authority, that means the spleen, so the one on the other side here, this one, this is the spleen center. So if you're looking at the chart, it's the bottom left. If this one is defined, then you possibly, and your emotional center isn't, you may possibly be splenic, which means that you're here to be intuitive or instinctual. And that means in the moment that something is brought to your attention, you do have a pretty clear idea if it's yes or no. And that or that if you're a generator, or that go that way if you know you're one of the other types, is really true and really helps you to see the truth. But unfortunately, your tendency may be to discount your intuition, put it on the back burner, and wait and see what happens. And then confusion sets in around the decision because you've probably gotten into your mind and now you're trying to compare and contrast or, have a connection to the data, pros and cons, and all of that. And if you do that, then you are likely going to make a wrong decision because you've gotten out of the instinct that spoke to you in the moment and it never comes back. It doesn't come back and keep digging at you, going, remember, I said do this, do that, go that direction. It doesn't do that. So you have to know and act in the moment that your intuition speaks to you. And there are other types of authority in your chart as well. Some of you have self-projected authority, which means that you may be chatting with other people about something that's coming up. And in the process, you're hearing the answers to your questions as far as should I do this or shouldn't I do that? And there's ego authority as well. It comes from the ego center, the heart center, and the desire of doing something. And there's also sacral authority. A couple of you have sacral authority that tune in here. And the sacral, also like the spleen, has a response in the moment that something is brought to your attention. And it's usually in the form of an aha or a subtle or maybe a less than subtle tug towards something or a pushing away from something. And if you're tuned into your body, you will note that, and that will be your answer. So it becomes really important this week to know yourself so well that you aren't tempted to say yes to things that have no bearing for you personally, right? Or are the wrong opportunities. In other words, that that card, and we're going to do some cards this morning, the usual ones that we like. That card that says all that glitters, it's in the Woto deck, the Wisdom of the Oracle. And in the Woto deck, it is like this pile of gold coins, and it's just all glittery, and it's very tempting to want to go with that energy. Well, all that glitters isn't gold, right? Sometimes it's glittery right now, and as soon as it gets hit with water, the gloss goes away, right? And so we are tempted to say yes to things in this week that may seem really good on the surface or superficially, but if you stick with it, you're going to see the dents and the bumps and the things that maybe you didn't see to begin with that are cause for alarm or cause for not doing that. And you won't know it unless you stick with it with time. All right. I hope that makes sense for everybody. If anybody has questions, let me know. Good morning, Terry. Thank you. Love you. Lisa Pedro, good morning to you as well. Great to see people out there we haven't seen in a while, unless you're listening in the background and I don't see that. Anyway, so if you have questions about authority or how to say yes or no, let me know in the chat, or it may be time for you to have a personal human design reading so you can get clear on how it is exactly that you're designed to make decisions, especially if you're facing something big this week. Now, if we look a little bit deeper at the sun at gate 29, which is what started this conversation, gate 29 is the gate of commitment or saying yes in human design. In the gene keys, remember, it's multi-level, it's half-heartedness in the shadow, it is commitment in the gift and devotion in the city. And remember, we talked last week and starting to bring new concepts to you guys. If I go too fast, let me know. But this concept that I started last week was this idea that the shadow expresses possibly in two different ways. In one way, it's a little more repressed. It's sort of passive aggressive even. And in the other way, it's out rebellious, or it is very assertive, and it is the shadow being expressed that way. So in the gate 29, the repressed shadow is expressed through unreliability or fickleness, saying yes 1 minute and then jumping out the next, jumping, hopscotching through things, saying yes and then going, eh, not that one, and then going back in and saying yes and then jumping back out. And of course, if you're doing that on a consistent basis, then you sort of get a reputation for being fickle or for being unreliable. In the more rebellious expression at the gate 29, we have this energy of overcommitting. And I want to say that this one can be super, super dangerous if you are a projector or a manifester, because overcommitting means that if you jump in, and you have any kind of root energy or anything in your chart that's got endurance, you will stick with things even if you are digging into your deeper energy. And that means overcommitting then can set you up for burnout or for issues with your health. So overcommitting is the rebellious form of the shadow, and unreliability, the more repressed. Now, we can't look at just the sun because we live on the earth. And I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but in your Gene Keys holographic profile, you get a picture of these bubbles, and I don't have one sitting here. I did have one sitting here, but I moved a bunch of stuff last weekend. And I don't have one sitting here right now, but, or do I? Hold the phone, I might have it. And I do. And he said this happens to be yours for some reason that keeps sitting here. So I'm going to show you what a holographic profile looks like. And this is from the Gene Keys. So, Asa, I'm going to move this up just a titch so people don't get your birth information. But here is where your sun is, right? This is the sun from the conscious line profile. And then right here is the earth. And the distance traveled from the sun to the earth is an evolutionary process. And it involves some disruption. It involves sometimes a feeling of like you just can't quite get there. There's a lot of friction between the sun and the earth at times. And in being able to utilize the full power of the sun, you have to make some adjustments for the planet that you live on, and the planet you live on is Earth. So today, the Earth, or all of this week, then the Earth is sitting at gate 30, which in human design, we call it the gate of intensity. And it is also known by the other name, the gate of desire. And it sits at the bottom here, the bottom corner of the emotional center. And if you have it defined, anytime any of you have had a reading with me, if you've had this defined, then we have a more intense conversation around things like desire and what you want in your life, and being detached from those desires and being more observer of those things, kind of stepping back and not holding yourself or the universe to having that exact thing the way you want it, when you want it, almost sort of detaching from that and just throwing it out there. Because it is where the question comes up, what do I want? And it's very far away from the throat center, right? The throat center in human design is the center where things come out, they get manifested, or it gets spoken, right? That's the center. It's the gearbox. All the energy is being pushed up to the throat or down from the head into the throat. And if indeed you have these very powerful desires, it can overtake the chart, and it sort of ramps up the energy of everything. So the earth right now is sitting at this spot where it ramps up or intensifies the energies that we're feeling. So when we get to that question, what do I want? We can have this very attached sort of idea of what it is that we want and how it should show up. Where indeed what we need to have is the desire for something, but then a detach a bit from that so that the universe can do its magic and bring in the highest and the best of whatever it is. Right, but on our human selves, we really want to control all that. And the gate 30 is one of those gates that wants to control, or at least control the when, the why, the how, and the what is going to happen. And in on the emotional center, then you know how it is, how emotions can be overly suffocating here. And so we have to be very careful with the gate 30. In the lowest expression through the gene keys, the gate of desire, or the gene key 30, is desire. That's the shadow. It's the shadow of desire. And in the gift, it's lightness. Lightness. And in the highest expression, it is the word rapture, right? So I always have this interesting reaction to that word. And I also have the gate 30 in my chart. So I always wonder, why do I have that reaction to the point where I don't think I've ever fully read it in the Gene Keys book. I think there's this connotation that I have of it being religious, right? It's a Christian term of some, I don't know, I don't even understand it fully. So I have this reaction to that word. One of these days, I'm just going to dig in and I'm going to dig through that word and I'm going to figure out what it really is. Rapt, right? RAPT, like rapt attention, highly focused attention. Yeah, I don't know. I'll come back to that one to you with you guys. But the important thing here is the gift. The gift is lightness. Lightness. So it doesn't mean that we don't have desires or that we shouldn't have desires or that by having desires we're, in a bad place. That's not it at all, because desire is really the engine that runs our world, right? Our lives. It's holding those desires in lightness, right? Holding them in a way that allows the universe to work its magic without you being in control of it. It's letting go of that control. In for generators or manifesting generators, sometimes I call it what do I call that? The secondary plan to God, right? The backup plan to God. And generators and manifesting generators are really good at having this backup plan. In case I don't get what I want in this way, then I have this plan of getting it this way, right? So in this case, it's about allowing yourself to surrender a bit and back off, hold the desire as lightly as possible, and let the magic happen. In the repressed form of this shadow, it's flippant. We don't want to be flippant about it and go, yeah, I don't care, because that's just not right, because you do care, or it wouldn't be a desire. That kind of tells the universe, well, she's not, he or she's not really committed to this idea of getting to this place. And on the other side, the more rebellious side or overactive side is about being overly serious, right? Again, lightness is the way that we're meant to hold the desire and not in this over-serious and cloying or holding on to fashion. So the whole of these two gates means this week that it might be a really good time for you to get in touch with what are your desires and which ones may I be holding on to so tightly that I need to release them a bit, and what other ones might I just have this sort of, laissez-faire relationship with, and I need to maybe get to a little more, not serious to it, but a little more inclined to flesh it out a bit. What do I really want? And so I tell people all the time, get a journal and start writing in that journal about what you desire. What do you want? If you don't know what you want, then the universe doesn't really bring it about. So, Asa, good morning, Lynn. It's great to see you. Asa says, rapture can also mean intense pleasure or joy. I got you there. I get that. Yeah, possibly. On the other end, yes, it's one of my own things that I just need to look at. I still struggle myself with this gate 30. And what does it mean to be detached versus what does it mean to be flippant? And so we're all basically on this planet working through this, but desire and its attachment is the problem. If you have the desire, that's not the problem. And this, by the way, is not sexual desire. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It is the desire for us to move into success. It is the desire to have things or to have a family or to have a relationship, a bond with somebody. Whatever it is that you desire is how you want to your life to be. That's the kind of desire that we're talking about here. All right. Good morning, Colleen. It's great to see you out there too. So, any questions from anybody on the human design or gene keys for the week, or for anything to do with the authority that we were talking about? And if you do, go ahead and write that comment down there, and I will deal with that in a minute. Today, from the Pleiadian Earth energy, we're looking at five choosing. I love 5 days. 5 days are about change, surprises, unexpected things coming your way. It has a Uranus feel to it. And sometimes the surprise in is what you didn't see that was right in front of you, right? All the time. the answer that you need, or the great, path opens up and you see exactly where to go. So today's a day universally for us to expect surprises or unexpected opportunities or change in some way. The earth energy today is called choosing. Now, five choosing to me then sometimes enters into that Jupiter Saturn thing we were talking about first thing this morning, about where we're sitting on the fence, because five choosing is the five is the change and the opportunities and unexpected things. But the choosing part in the Mayan calendar was the word ebb, which represented the road or coming to sort of a fork in the road. And it represents in the Pleiadian earth energy the collective healing. It represents our nurturing of something and settling differences, but you have to choose the road to go down, right? So, five, choosing what direction am I going to go? Again, knowing yourself, knowing your energy, knowing how your body reacts when it's a yes, knowing how your body reacts when it's a no, is hugely effective in putting you in the right place at the right time with the right opportunities. Today is one of those kind of days where those opportunities may indeed pop up in your field. So, a good day, but maybe a little unsettling for some of you. And for others, maybe you're just ready for that change and you totally embrace it and you go with that flow. So, that would be the high side of all of that energy. Okay, so let's see. I don't see any questions popping up. So, let's pull a couple of cards that represent the week for us. Before I do that, let's take a look ahead at other things that are going on this week, because it is Monday, of course, Monday. And with Monday, we get to look down the road, down ebb, and see what's ahead of us. Tomorrow, we have a Venus conjunct the Sun. Nope, that was last week. Tomorrow, we have a. Oh Lord. Tomorrow we have the moon transitioning out of Aries and into Taurus. And later Wednesday, we have Venus moving out of Leo and into Virgo. Remember on Saturday into Sunday, we had Mars moving into Virgo, and now Venus follows suit. And then on Friday, the Sun moves into Virgo. And some of you may say, well, that might be the official ending of the summer, but not really. We still have a good chunk of the summer left with Virgo energy. And then by the weekend, we have the moon in Gemini, a lighthearted sort of weekend. And so, all in all, I think we have a really good week. But remember what we were talking about with things building up in the energy of Virgo. Virgo is practical, it is down to earth, and it demands a sort of action be taken. And, bringing the creative energies out and, kind of bringing them into reality. So, from imagination into reality. And that's really what the Virgo energies are preparing us to do, is to really get out into the world, get our work out there, get our ducks in a row, if you will, and get prepared. And in whatever that means for you, it could be in your work, it could be in your money, it could be in your home, it could be in your relationships, it could be hidden from you, it could be in your divinity, whatever it, maybe it's in your spiritual practice. Remember, we're coming up to September. And for those of you who were with me at the beginning of the year when we did the astrology for 2019, one of the big calls to action that we had this year was our planet Neptune and Saturn in a sextile that was creating the opening for a stronger spiritual practice, basing our lives on recognizing that we are embodied spirits. And the next level of that takes place in September. So be ready, right? Get your spiritual ducks in a row, as well as your mental, emotional, and physical ones, and be ready to fly. Later, also on the weekend, we have Venus and Mars in conjunction. That brings the masculine and the feminine together, and sometimes in very powerfully romantic, loving ways, and also in sometimes conflicting and argumentative ways. ways. So you want to be aware of anything that sits between you and a partner right now, as you move through the week, so that you don't end up in the weekend in Argumentsville, instead of Lovesville, right? So take care of that. And so let's take a look at what the cards say for us for the week. We'll draw both a Woto, a Wisdom of the Oracle, which is the deck by Colette Baron-Reed, and the Spirit Animal deck, also by Colette Baron-Reed, the Spirit Animal Oracle. So we'll pick one of each. Okay, so this is a card that will represent our journey for the week and the highest and best that we can expect. Ooh, the cards are smooth this morning. There's no sticking. And To the Sea pops out. I don't remember us having this one. Card number seven, To the Sea. That's our Woto card. And let's pull our animal card from that. And we'll have, then we'll read what those, what they mean. So this will be the animal that helps us along the way this week. By the way, we had a turtle crisis this weekend. It's actually on Friday afternoon. I got a call from my neighbor who was out of town because her parents had realized that the cat had gotten up on the turtle's aquarium and, you know, gotten it so that it was open, and the turtle escaped. And I turned that house upside down. My husband turned that house upside down. Her parents turned that house upside down. We could not find that turtle. And they got home late last night. They found the turtle and he was alive and hungry and really wanting water, but he was doing fine. And so I picked beaver spirit in upside down. So beaver is interesting because beaver is a worker, right? They're the laying a solid foundation. It's the card number six. I don't know if you can see that, which sort of speaks to having balance, right? Bringing balance into things. So let's see what these cards mean for us. So the first one was To the Sea, card number seven. That's funny, six and seven. To the Sea, number seven. And it says, being in flow, returning to source, recognizing how pieces fit together, a natural pattern of events. And isn't it wonderful when you feel yourself in the flow of life, when events and conditions seem to engage you in a way that is fluid and effortless? This card reminds you that going with the flow is exactly what you need to do right now. Ride the wave of opportunity formed by perfect conditions. Allow trust and faith to guide you forward as you flow like a river into the sea of life. That's a good one. And then beaver card number six. By the way, look at this. Isn't that cute? That wide, flat tail. Beaver spirit number six-ish. So the card says lay a solid foundation, but we have protection mode because we're in upside down. Beaver spirit has come to warn you to check for rotten wood in the foundations of your dreams. Perhaps you built your hopes on faulty promises or wishful thinking that something would work out just because you wanted it to. Maybe you made choices from a place of unworthiness, hoping that once you got what you desired, it would somehow change you and make everything better. And you had to face the truth that it didn't. Or beaver spirit may be telling you it is time to accept things as they are and perhaps consider abandoning the project, relationship, or situation so you can make room for something better. Perhaps you need to go back and rebuild a solid foundation because what you desire may not be in alignment with what your soul intends. Beaver spirit says you can always get busy and build something fresh and new if the desire is true. All manner of miracles can spring up from a new strong foundation when you remember your partnership with spirit. Be clear about what you're building and why. Choosing from a place of worthiness, well-being, and wholeness, self-understanding, and acceptance will provide you with a solid blueprint to begin with. Get busy now. Beaver Spirit says this is not a time to procrastinate, but a time to start building again. Always mindful of the foundation you are laying. Trusting that spirit is co-creating with you. Isn't that interesting? Not a time to procrastinate. That would be seemingly a Virgo message as well, as Virgo doesn't necessarily, thrive in procrastination. It really is a builder energy. It's earth energy, right? So it says take practical steps. Do something, right? Put your work out there in some way. Begin the process. If you don't lay the first brick, the foundation doesn't get built. That's what Virgo energy tells us. So, all right, let me take a look really quickly, see if there have been any other questions. No questions. You guys are either good this morning or you totally get what's happening here. And I like that. So, let's see what else is coming up for me this week. On Wednesday, I will be on the Angel Heart Radio Show at 5 p.m. Pacific time. That's 8 p.m. East Coast time with my dear friend Annette McCoy. And we're going to be taking up the subject of Virgo and the subject of September in some sort of ways of, what does Virgo energy want from us? Getting more into the details. Now, this is where it is your opportunity to get a mini reading. You can call into the show. I'll post that number on Wednesday morning so you can call into the show and get a reading. We can look at your chart and see where Virgo is and what is happening for you. And of course, the show is broadcast out of Australia, and that is at, I think, 10 a.m. Australia time. It might be 9 a.m. All I know is it's 5 p.m. my time. And on Wednesday, which is their Thursday at like 9 or 10 a.m. So take a look at angelheartradio.com and you can get a hold of that schedule. In the meantime, that is it for me today. I hope everybody has a wonderful day. Thank you so much for your blessings going out to Ginger and Michelle as they face medical procedures today. And I'll keep you posted on how they're doing. Take care. Have a wonderful day. Bye for now.